one verse. So let's just stand, and we're going to read one verse together, and it's verse number 10 of Revelation chapter number 12. If you're in Revelation 12, say amen.
Amen.
And I trust that this study will be a blessing to you tonight. I know it was certainly a blessing to me in preparing it. Verse number 10 of Revelation chapter 12. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren And you see that there, he's the accuser of our brethren. He accused them before our God day and night. That is what Satan does. That is what he does. And so we're going to talk tonight about the words of Satan. The words of Satan. Father, please, again, bless your word to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Conform us into your image, we pray. We pray in Christ's name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You've got your outline there. We know this is true. Words are very powerful. Amen?
Amen.
Words are very powerful. Proverbs 18 and 21, we have reference there. You know the verse, amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Maybe you have been having a bad day and someone came to you and said, "What's wrong with you?" Those words did not help. They hurt. Amen? Just simple words. Or you were having a bad day and someone came up to you and said, "You know, I noticed you've had a burden and I've been praying for you." You know what that is? That's an apple of gold and a picture of silver. Amen? And so words are very powerful. By the way, let's just remember that. Let's choose our words carefully. I heard somebody say, everybody's fighting a battle. Be kind to everybody. And I think during Vacation Bible School, Ranger Ron, we had one of our lessons was, is it kind? Is it helpful? And is it necessary regarding our words? And if it's none of those three, do us all a favor and button your lip. Amen? Mama's advice, Grandma's advice is still good advice. If you don't have something good to say, just be quiet. Amen? It's all right. Amen? Words are powerful. Satan is a master of using, redefining, and perverting words. We have people all over the country that insist that they are married. They're not. They're not. I had one person tell me one time, "The word marriage is nowhere in the Bible." And I said, "You ought to try reading it. Because the Bible says marriage is honorable in all." And if you want to know what Jesus thinks about marriage, listen, it's not a message on marriage, but Jesus is the one who said, "Have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Just because Satan redefines something doesn't make it so. But he's a master, isn't he? He's a master at redefining and perverting words. To pervert means to twist. To take something good and twist it. He specializes in slander. Slander is defined as a malicious, false, and defamatory statement of report. And you know what? This definition sums up the words of Satan. You got your Bible there. Go back to John 8:44. I know you know this verse. We've looked at it several times in our study, but it bears looking at again. Remember John chapter 8, verse 44, and Jesus is having it out with the Pharisees, as he often did, and they're telling them how great they are and how they've never been in bondage to any man, and even though they're in bondage for 400 years in Egypt, and they said, "We're the sons of Abraham," and they slammed him. They said, "Well, we'd be not born of fornication like you." We all know that Mary was pregnant before Joseph and her got married. That's what they were saying to him. Incredible. And they said, "Listen, where are the children of Abraham?" And Jesus says in verse 44 of chapter 8, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Not going to be invited back to the ministerial association meeting. Amen? Huh? "Ye are of your father, the devil. And the works of your father, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth." Now we're talking about the words of Satan tonight. Now think about that. Abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Slanderer. That's what we're talking about tonight. The words of Satan. The Bible records 346 words of Satan. And all of them involve slander. We're going to look at three of these passages tonight. We have Genesis 3, 1 through 5. You have 46 words. Then in Job 1, 7 through 2, 8, we have 131 words of Satan. And then Matthew 4 and Luke 4 are what we call parallel accounts. They're the same event written by a different writer. And in Matthew, we have 71 words, and then in Luke we have 98 words. So when we look at the words of Satan, we're talking about slander. Who is Satan slandering here? Well, back to Genesis chapter 3, and we've been over this ground. This will be the third week in a row, really, over this same ground, but I want to go over it again. We learned the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. Bit by bit, you learn doctrine. And listen, if you come to me after this series and said, "Pastor, the only thing I got out of that series is I know Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 5, I'll be good with that. Amen. Now, I hope you'll learn more than that. Praise God. If not, I understand. Amen. The teacher's not all that good, but you've got the Holy Spirit in you, so you should learn a little bit more. Anyway, okay, look at verse number 1 of chapter 3, and you start picking up the words here. Okay? "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman," and you may want to mark from here on, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman," and here, Mark, you've got five words here, "ye shall not surely die." Why would he say that? Because he abode not in the truth. He's a liar and the father of it. How do you know? This is the first lie in the Bible. And who spoke it? Satan. Amen? And so he says, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So here we have the 46 words of Satan in Genesis chapter 3. What does he do here? Satan's words slander God to man. He slanders God to man. And we talked about how he slanders the goodness of God. Did God say you couldn't eat of all these trees? Obviously, he's not being good to you. Otherwise, he would let you eat of that tree. And the tree of life, by the way, get there quick. He's not being good to you. You know what he's doing? He's slandering the goodness of God. Listen, I've been walking this Christian walk for 20 years, and I know for some of you that's not a long time. I can't believe it's been 20 years, to be honest with you, that I've been saved. But I know I've been saved 20 years. And Satan has had this conversation in both this year and this year about God and His goodness. If God was good, why did that person die early? If God is good, why does that person who's such a servant always struggle financially? Hey, listen, I'm just being honest with you. That's what that Satan doesn't play fair. God's good because it's all He can be. Amen? That's all He can be. And Satan slanders the goodness of God to man. You know what else he slanders? The severity of God. I know we've been over this ground here. But he says there, God said, if you eat of this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Satan said, you're not going to die. God is not going to be that severe. He's not going to. He's just a sweet old grandpa in the sky. How many times have I heard somebody say, the man upstairs? Mm-mm. Holy God upstairs. Holy God. God's holy. That is why sin cannot be in His presence. He's a consuming fire. You know what a consuming fire would do to sin? It would consume it. Burn it up. Our God is holy. And I'm here to tell you something. Just as wonderful heaven is, and I was going through all my sermon seeds today, organizing them. I got about 150 sermon seeds on my desk and going through them. And one of them, Brother Abe, was on heaven. And I said, you know what? I haven't preached on heaven in a little while. I need to preach on heaven. Heaven's wonderful. Glory. But as good as heaven is, hell's that bad in pendulum swing. The severity of God. He says, oh, God wouldn't do that to you. You're not going to die. Go ahead, enjoy. The goodness of God, the severity of God, the motives of God toward man. See, there's a reason why He doesn't want you to eat of that tree. First of all, He's not being good to you. Second of all, don't worry about that judgment stuff. Third of all, He doesn't want you to be like Him. That's His problem. He's an egomaniac. By the way, the promise of Satan is still, ye shall be as gods. Still His promise. And He never comes through on it. God always comes through on His promises. Satan gave that first promise and he's never come through on it. He says, listen, God does not want you to be like Him. He wants it all to Himself. Here's what He's doing. He's slandering God to man. He's slandering God's motives. No, we know the reason why God did not want us to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is exactly what happened. Death came into the world. Amen? And not only that, knowledge of sin. I'm going to tell you something. I was listening to a preacher today who got saved later in life, and Brother Horsch, I was just amening him as he's preaching. I'm in my office saying amen. Miss Boston probably thought I was insane if she doesn't already think that. Amen. I was amening him. You know what he said? He said he got saved a little bit later in life, and he experienced, he did business with the devil, so to speak. And you know what he has for the rest of his life until God wipes away all the memories? He's got the knowledge of sin, doesn't he, Brother Case? Knowledge of sin, it's an awful thing. It's awful. Listen, if not for the blood of Christ, it would drive us insane. But the blood of Christ washes away everything. Thank God. But you know what David said? He said, my sin is ever before me. You know why God didn't want us to take of that tree? Was because He knew the knowledge of sin. And listen, it happened right away, didn't it? God said, where art thou, Adam? He said, I hid myself because I found out I was naked. He said, who told you you were naked? You've been naked the whole time. You didn't know it. Now he had the knowledge of sin, didn't he? So Satan slanders God to man. And in the second passage, let's go to Job. Job, right about the middle of your Bible, right before Psalms. As the old black preacher said, Job, the palms, and the preserves. Amen. They're all back to back there. Job, the palms, and the preserves. Book of Job, chapter 1. Number 1, in Genesis 3, we see Satan's words slander God to man. And here it's flipped around. Here, Satan's word slander man to God. Verse number 6 says, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also amongst them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, and here if you're marking, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant? What a title. He didn't give himself that title. God said, This is my servant. My servant Job. That there is none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy hand. What does Satan slander? Well, the first thing he slanders about Job is Job's, or man's love for God. He says, He doesn't love you. Now, the sad part is, Brother Becker, sometimes he's right. Come on now. Even the church at Ephesus, which was a great church, Jesus said, you know, you've left your first love. You don't love me like you used to. But here with Job, it is not the case. So he's slandering. He's saying here, Job only loves you because you bless him. You just let me at him for about 2 seconds, and you'd find out he didn't really love you. You know, folks, I'm glad for the blessings. Aren't you? Again, I mean, we had such a good time, Brother Castable and Brother Horsham and myself, before service. We had fellowship. We were three fellows in the same ship, amen? Just enjoying fellowship. And we were just bragging on God's goodness. You know, you look out there and I see you folks and how God's been good to you, each in a different way. Some of you are raising your children right now. Some of you are enjoying your grandchildren. God bless you. Some of you about to have grandchildren. Amen. And some of you about to get married. Hallelujah. Amen. That was a good spot for an amen, Bryce. I'm sorry, brother. I gave you a chance, man. Amen. And now you're getting this from the side. Where were you? Amen. God's been good to us. God's blessed us. Amen. But is He still God if we don't have the blessing? Should we still love Him? Listen, I know I'm treading on some holy ground right now. Some of you have been through the fire. You buried a spouse. You buried a child. You know what? And I've watched many of you. You still love God. I don't know if this is true. I'm well away from the pulpit, so I could say this. I wonder if God takes Satan by the nape of the neck and makes him look when Satan tries everything to get somebody to try to not love God and they still love him anyway. I wonder if he takes him by the ear, amen? Look at that. Look at that. Everything you do and they still love me. That's my servant down there. He slanders man's love for God. But there's another thing he slanders here. He slanders man's motives concerning God. And we mentioned that. He says there in verse 9, or really verse 10, he said, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?" He says, you know, it's the only reason he loves you and serves you is because you're good to him. And you won't let me at him. Well, we found out that wasn't true, didn't we? Then, if you go to chapter 2, and look again, it says verse 1, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And if you know your Bible, you know 1 Peter 5:8 right on your sheet here. You probably barely read it there, but it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He forgot to say that twice. So just walking around. Just walking in the mall. No. Walking around, see if I could gobble somebody up. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." By the way, if you want a great verse, look at verse 22 of chapter 1. In all this, after Job lost literally everything, except for his wife, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And then Satan answered the Lord, verse 4 of chapter 2, and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone of his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life." Satan slandered man's love for God. Satan slandered man's motives concerning God. And then lastly, under point number 2, Satan slanders man's character towards God. He said, "Listen, you just let me take his health and it's bye-bye, my servant. Any man will give all that he hath for his life." You know, and there are times where that's true. I've heard of awful situations where people would literally kill another person to save their own life. I'm not talking about a self-defense situation. I'm talking about a situation where it was kill or be killed. Awful to think about. Awful. Think about that. But you know, if you'll study the history of the Christian church, it's baptized in blood of people that have given their life. One of the reasons why we are never going away from this old King James Bible is it's the only one that is part of the trail of blood. That men and women through the centuries died so we could have it. I'm here to tell you something. Nobody died so I could have the NIV. Nobody. Nobody. And he slanders the motives of Job. He said, just watch this. You know, Job was smote from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot with sore boils, the Bible says. And yet he still didn't deny God. Oh, him and God had a conversation, didn't they? And at the end of Job, God did most of the talking. "Where were you when I made it all? Where were you when I hung the earth on nothing?" Basically, what he told Job was, "Who do you think you're talking to?" Amen? Did. He slanders man's motives. Hey, listen, we ought to serve him because he's God Almighty. Amen? So he slanders God to man. He slanders man to God. And then if you go with me to Matthew 4, and we've got about 4 minutes here, we can squeeze this one in here. Matthew chapter 4. He slanders the God-man, doesn't he? not only slanders God to man, he not only slanders man to God, but he slanders the God-man, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. He, first of all, slanders the God-man's position. It says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" If you jump down to verse 6, it says, "And he saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone.'" What you say, what do you mean he's slandering his position? He's saying, he's putting the word "if" Jesus is the Son of God. Hey, listen. Satan knew who he was. There was no if about it. He is the Son of God. Whether he'd have made stones into bread or jumped off a precipice, he is the Son of God. Amen? So he slanders the God-man's position. He slanders the God-man's provision. Hey, 40 days without food. You must be hungry. Must be hungry. I don't know about you, but I could just love some warm bread right about now. And you know, if you're the Son of God, which you know you're claiming to be, there's those stones right there. Why don't you just make them bread? Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You know, Moses, several times, 40 days and 40 nights without food. And you know what sustained him? The same thing that sustained Jesus, the presence of God. Don't forget, at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus was led up of the Spirit. He didn't just say, "I feel like taking on the devil." He was led up of the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit of God. So the provision, the position. Verse 6, he slanders the God-man's protection. We read it. It says, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Satan switches tactics here. We'll talk about either next week or the following about the tactics of Satan, his attacks. He switches tactics here. Jesus said, "It is written," so he says, "Well, I'll try that. It is written." And by the way, it is written in Psalm chapter 91. That he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He says, "Listen, you know the angels of God will protect you. Go ahead and do it. Just show off a little bit. You're God, or at least you're claiming to be. Can't you just hear him? Doubt, slander." He's slandering the God-man's protection. And then lastly, I have it on there twice as protection, but he's slandering... Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 2. It should be purpose there. It should be purpose. Apologize about that. He's slandering the God-man's purpose. When he says, "Look, all these things will I give you if you'll just fall down and worship me." You see, it wasn't his purpose to worship Satan and get all things temporarily. Hebrews chapter 2, if you look at verse number 16 through 18, and we'll be done here, it says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest." In all things pertaining to God. See, his purpose wasn't to get what he could get. It's already his. Isn't it? "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof," Psalms tells us. "Pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." And in verse 18, if you want a blessed, comforting verse, here it is. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to help. He's able to understand. Why? Because if you go over a page, Hebrews 4 in verse 15, it says, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Satan slandered the God-man's purpose. Oh, just worship me. Sorry, that's not in the playbook. Amen. Not going to happen. Hey, just remember, when the Word of God says one thing and Satan whispers something else into your ear, that he's a slanderer, he's a liar. That's all he does. That's all he does. He slanders and lies. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray one with another. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we do thank You for the Bible, that we have the Word of God. Lord, we'll be talking about it in the coming weeks, that offensive weapon. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to use it. Lord, please give us wisdom. I think of Uncle Joe as he was praying, Lord, help us to memorize it, to commit it to memory, for the day may come that we may not have a Bible in our hands. But if we hide Your Word in our hearts, we can still quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Bless now in our invitation time and our business meeting to follow. Lord, again, may all things be done to Your glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How about 5?